This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Over the weekend, when the news broke that a branch of the Victorian Liberal Party drafted a motion with language that allowed legal conversion therapy, many were concerned about what this would mean. Conversion therapy is an umbrella term used to discuss a whole range of therapeutic and religious attempts to change people's sexual orientation and gender identity. This morning, Victorian Liberal Party President Michael Kroger stopped the motion from being debated at the upcoming council meeting, which for many is a relief. But it doesn't stop the concern many have that the validity of their lives and the lives of their children and families would once again be up for debate. Rachel Taylor-Jones spoke to parents of gender-diverse children spokeswoman Karen about what it would be like waking up and seeing the conversion therapy was an issue that was even a consideration in today's day and age.
It was just mind-blowing, to be honest. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I think, you know, all the positive steps that the world has taken, just to see something as ill-considered and conservative and harmful was just really upsetting and disturbing.
In a joint statement from parents of gender-diverse children and author of children's book The Gender Fairy, Jo Hurst, they write, "There is solid evidence, research and data that show that children do best when their gender is affirmed and supported by their families and community. This research and evidence is confirmed by the best doctors, psychologists and researchers from around the world. What we also know from research in this country is that children who are not supported and affirmed are at extreme risk of death by suicide, self-harm, homelessness, and poor mental health outcomes. With this in mind, it is deeply concerning that any government body or political party would even consider taking such a bold stand against world's best practice and medical advice. The world over, we have seen positive moves away from so-called conversion therapies. In light of this overwhelming body of evidence and advice, we are at a loss to understand what would motivate such a harmful and potentially damaging resolution."
Well, I think we're back to, you know, all the sorts of things that happened with the postal vote. Winding the clock back is pointless, and, you know, wonder what is behind these sorts of things. You know, I think we all know the reason why these things are harmful. Really, to me, I just can't help but wonder what's behind it. You know, what benefit is it to impose these binary rules when, you know, it's just about... I think it's needlessly pushing for an agenda that is not helpful and not really acknowledging that there is more to being human than falling in a very narrow definition of man or woman.
So, what does this mean? Was this story breaking in the press an opportunity to chop it off at the knees, or does this mean we have further to go? In the past 5 years, the dialogue in mainstream media surrounding the validity of people with diverse gender has taken huge strides. But when it comes to truly accepting that, are we taking one step forward and two steps back?
That's our biggest concern, is that, you know, the hard-won gains, the things that, you know, groups and individuals and society has fought for, can be undone and taken back decades by a couple of conservative politicians pushing an agenda that doesn't represent what is a reasonable sector of society, and it is really harmful.
There is a small fraction of society that still believe that conversion therapy is the right way forward, even though it is proven that this is not the case. As a spokesperson for parents of gender-diverse children, I asked Karen if this kind of opposition to transitioning and gender diversity is something that she or the organisation has experienced in our wider community, with institutions, medical professions or schools.
No, I don't think those views are reflected at all. You know, there's a small fringe part of society, and really it is a small fringe conservative faction of society that is pushing this, and they're really doing their best to dress it up as representative of a large proportion of society, but I don't believe it is. And in the professionals and organisations and wider community that we deal with, we hear concerns about these views, but we don't necessarily experience these views on the ground.
So how can we make sure that this is being heard by our broader communities so politicians can't make changes that further alienate the LGBTIQA plus communities?
What we've learned is that it's the small conversations that change people's minds. So if every person that reads an article or sees something that is potentially harmful, you know, if you write a letter to your local minister, to your local councillor, to your local whomever that's supposed to represent us and voice your views, tell people that this isn't right, look up the information. I mean, the true story, the true reality of what this type of stuff does to people is out there. And if we all start talking about how harmful this is and how non-representative these views are, then that can become the dominant conversation. There is a percentage of humans that identify and present and live their lives outside of the gender binary. And just like any other person, they deserve to be recognised and deserve to have the protections that legislation can give them, just like any other person. And if it means that it has to be defined in law, and fortunately already is, I don't believe that it is a step forward to change that. Trans and gender diverse young people and trans and gender diverse people as a group are really at risk of some pretty unpleasant outcomes if they're not supported and affirmed in society as well as in their families and by the professionals that should support them. And we know, and research shows, that if we start allowing these sorts of things, reparative therapies, conversion therapies, it puts people who are subjected to this further at risk of things they're already in a high risk group for. And it just defies logic why you would further put people at risk for something which is driven by an agenda that most people find difficult to understand.
That was Rachel Tyler-Jones with Karen, a spokesperson for parents of gender-diverse children.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.